Hello, this is Nicole Hunter from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Essence Magazine March 2008 edition. On this cover of the edition is Chadwick Boseman, and it's in regards to Black Panther. And we didn't have enough time last week to go over the cover, so let's go over it now. Watch the Throne. Now that Wakanda has risen, Black Panther's cast and creatives expound on why this African fantasy feels very real. The idea of creating a scenario where you're seeing very powerful, empowered Africans is really thrilling to me, something my heart, soul, and spirit yearned to see. And that was a quote from Denae Guerrero. There is no end to the opulence inside this private casino in Busan, South Korea. Think gilded fish scale walls, a marble staircase, and beaded blood red lamps. Still Black Panther anchors or actors Chadwick Boseman, Lupita Nyong'o, and Denae Guerrero somehow put the scenery to shame. The three stunners have taken their respective places inside and are waiting for the word. Nyong'o hops from leg to leg in a sleek green gown like a boxer, warming up before a fight. Guerrero confers with her fight coach. Boseman, suited in black on black, stands alone with trenchant eyes and looks super foreign. Stay focused, high energy. We need to get this, yells director Ryan Coogler, who's huddled behind a camera wearing a rolled up skull cap and a t-shirt with the image of the late Notorious B.I.G. His Oakland accent is so thick and familiar. I am at once surprised and calm. Whatever happens on this Atlanta film set, we gonna be all right. Coogler shouts, action. And Guerrero shape shifts into Okoye, general of the Dora Milaje, the elite all-American military unit protecting the African nation of Wakanda. This moment belongs to her. In a sparkling red gown, the warrior snatches off her wig and throws it at a bad guy. She then twirls a long spear above her head before using it to smack another bad guy in the face. After a few takes, the cast and crew wrap the scene and then break into applause. Coogler gives Guerrero a grip, high fives, fist bumps, and pounds abound. This soulful familiarity is a comfort considering this is Marvel Studios' first film centering on a black superhero since the Blade trilogy. No pressure, says Michael B. Jordan with a laugh. He plays Black Panther's nemesis, Eric Killmonger, just a $200 million movie. Created in 1966 by Jack Kirby and Stan Lee, the Black Panther comic books tell the story of T'Challa, prince of the fictional African nation of Wakanda, who also doubles as a superhero. The character played by Boseman made its debut on the big screens in 2016's Captain America: Civil War. In that film, King T'Chaka, T'Challa's father, is killed. In this story, T'Challa returns to his homeland to step into his father's shoes and perhaps avenge his death. What is so marvelous about Black Panther is the staggering assembly of prestigious behind-the-scenes black talent. Marvel executive producer Nate Moore, who has shepherded the project. Director and co-writer Coogler, who with only two films, such as Fruitvale Station and Creed, has already earned a reputation for telling big stories with intimacy and grace. Co-writer Joe Robert Cole, who notably wrote The People vs. O.J. Simpson, American Crime Story. Production designer Hannah Beechler, who created the looks of Moonlight, Lemonade, and Fruitvale Station. And the Oscar-nominated costume designer Ruth E. Carter, who some of her credits include Malcolm X and Amistad. The cast is also an embarrassment of riches, with Boseman as Black Panther, Ngongo as Spy, Nakia and T'Challa's love interest, Angela Bassett as Queen Ramonda, T'Challa's stepmother, Forrest Whitaker as elder spiritual guide Zuri, Letitia Wright as Shuri, a genius scientist and T'Challa's younger sister, and Daniel Kalala as Wakaba, a warrior and T'Challa's oldest friend. The now Oscar-nominated actor described making the film as a life-changing experience. I could just be myself and everyone gets it. Folks haven't been this excited about Africa in a film since Zamanda in the 1988's Coming to America. Black Twitter created the hashtag Black Panther So Lit in 2016. Black Panther trailers and images were released slowly throughout 2017, causing such a commotion. Isaac De Bankel with a plate in his lips, A shirtless Michael B. Jordan with tribal marks on his body. Sales for the film's opening night broke a record for first day advance sales of a Marvel film. Every image has been compelling, representative, Afro-futuristic, even subversive. Promotional trailers featured the music of grenade-throwing MCs such as Jill Scott Heron, Kendrick Lamar, who produced and curated the film's soundtrack, and Long Beach, California rapper Vince Staples, whose song Bad Back plays the looped line, "Show me my respect and bow down." That layered lyric is exactly the point. Here in the midst of another civil rights movement, during what many deem as a white supremacist presidency, at a time when black folks can be seen bleeding out on television, dying at the hands of trigger-happy policemen, and at a time when black folks still have to shout to be heard, what better time for Black Panther? And for that matter, television shows that depict black superheroes such as Luke Cage and Black Lightning. What better time to fall first or head first into an Africa reimagined and let lush images heal the million tiny cuts from microaggregations? What better time to envision an uncolonized Africa, an Africa from before? We really do need another hero. When Moore approached Coogler to direct Black Panther, the producer had no idea the assignment in a sense preordained. The story is now legend. When Coogler was 8 years old, he walked into Dr. Comics at Mr. Games in his hometown of Oakland and asked the clerk if the store had anybody who looks like me. The clerk introduced him to Black Panther. A thorough knowledge of the character, Moore says, is what landed the director the job. Ryan was interested in T'Challa, who's both the king of a nation that he has to protect and a superhero, and how this dichotomy pulls him into two different directions very often. While Marvel wanted the film to feel like a James Bond-style geopolitical thriller, Coogler wanted to explore the fact that Wakanda had never been colonized. I had really been studying the effects of colonization in the African diaspora, specifically as it relates to the African Americans and Africans. And what I hit on was this concept of what it means to be African. He says, I pitched that to the studio as a main theme of exploration, and they were totally interested, which is, to their credit, really cool. Wakanda wears the mask. The African nation fronts as a small provincial country, thanks to a force field that conceals the land's true identity as the most technologically advanced nation on the planet. Wakanda's most precious resource is vibranium, a mineral that can be absorbed sound waves and is woven into Black Panther's suit. The country has witnessed the instability caused by the plundering of resources by outsiders such as cobalt and diamonds in the Congo and rubber trees in the Amazon. isolation safeguards Wakanda from invaders who have come as a result of trade agreements. So the country can focus on building technology instead of fighting wars. The idea of creating a scenario where you're seeing very powerful, empowered Africans, it's really thrilling to me. Something heart, soul, and spirit yearn to see, says Karura. The Zimbabwean actress and playwright tackled colonization in her 2012 play, The Convert. What would the African world have been without that imposition? She asked. Bringing to vivid life that beauty, the agency is perhaps the most thrilling aspect of Black Panther. Production designer Beechler spent a month traveling up and down the coast of South Africa so she could recreate the comic's iconic settings such as Necropolis, known in the film as a city of the dead, and Warrior Falls, where the men fight in the King's Challenge. Beechler also studied tribes who resisted colonization, such as the Dogon people. We're trying to figure out how people act, she says, because your spirit is going to be different if you were never oppressed. The looks Ruth Carter crafted for Black Panther are structured and vibrant, incorporating Wakanda's red dirt, barefoot culture. Of note are the Dora Milaje uniforms, which were actually informed by author and Black Panther comics writer Ta-Nehisi Coates. In past editions, the women's costumes left little to the imagination. Here, the bodies are covered and protected. Comics get away with a lot, says Carter. You can put on a bathing suit top and a skimpy bottom and dive through glass, and nothing ever changes. The respect of the feminine is central to this film's rendering of Wakanda. While the country cannot be described as matriarch because it has a king, its people worship Bass, the panther goddess, the fiercest warriors in the land. The Dora Milaje recall the real story, Domini warriors at Benin. The mind behind the country's technological advancement is Shuri. We can have really strong Black women who don't have to be damsels in distress, who are independent and powerful, who can also fall in love at the same time, says Bozeman. The truth about traditional African society is that it is not archaic. It is contemporary, says Nugongo, who is Kenyan. For me as an African in this film, to talk on set and to see these incredible costumes and hairdos, these are the things I grew up seeing, but they've just been elevated to a fantastical place. We're going to experience the richness of the continent because the continent is what has informed us to what Wakanda can be. When Angela Bassett received the call for Coogler asking if she would play T'Challa's stepmother, Queen Ramonda, she had never heard of the character. But a queen is a queen of a Black nation, Bassett says, laughing. The Golden Globe winner was clear that despite her storied career, being cast as royalty is rare for a Black woman in Hollywood. Just to have an opportunity to portray the image, me, a little Black girl from the Florida projects, she says, playing a queen was just unattainable, unavailable, even in a fictitious world. A Black woman cannot be a queen, she scoffs. Why can't I be? So be it. The mere glimpse of Bassett as Queen Ramonda sporting silver locks or wearing her considerable crown is akin to the floor dropping out of an already thrilling ride. This imagery represents a powerful counter-narrative to the literal and psychological violence Black people, particularly women and girls, throughout the diaspora endure daily. So when we behold Okoye guiding an aircraft with the heat of her palms, when we see T'Challa and Shuri across their arms at their heart as a form of greeting, which is the actual sign language for love, when we hear Okoye scream, Wakanda forever. Something quickens inside us, ready to be born. Shakespeare would say, it's too tough a knot for me to untie, says Bassett. A real tangled knot of why we're proud and looking forward to this film. Because it's not just entertainment. The cast is aware of the enormity of the moment. We understand the responsibility, says British newcomer Wright, that it can shift mindsets. I can be a black superhero. I can be a scientist. I'm a queen. I'm a young prince. It's not about me. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than all of us. Whitaker, who was a producer on Fruitvale Station, believes Coogler is supremely suited for the job. His films also or always have some message about the depth of humanity, bringing out the voices of people of color while finding the universal connection that brings us together as one. And when Jordan is asked if he has moments of sheer awe that Black Panther is actually happening, his answer is off script and immediate. You right. It was actually explicit in there, so I didn't want to, you know, but you can fill in the blank, you blank right. Still, for all the politics and blackness for Black Panther to succeed at the box office, the audience, which is wide and diverse and filled with Marvel fanboys and fangirls, must be entertained. A good story must be told. We're not afraid of those real-world comparisons or conversations because it's important, Moore adds. We're also not a documentary. You know what I mean? We want people to escape, or as Ruth Carter so brilliantly puts it, escape and find yourself. Nyong'o, however, opts to take this idea one step further. It's not that I'm escaping into the world of Wakanda. It's actually aspirational. She's speaking about the glory of the continent and the richness of Wakanda. Yes, as perhaps about the fact that we are all, in a sense, super. Black Panther is rooted in myth and ritual, like stories of the Igbo flying to freedom. This power isn't just found in the comic books. It potentially exists inside our DNA. Heightened abilities come from the higher levels of spirituality, higher levels of technology. Bozeman says, like, you can take the superpowers away, but you still gotta have a warrior spirit. The warrior has to remain. And so let's move on to another article, which I'll try to keep it a little bit lighter this time. Yeah. So 10 things we're talking about. Number one, an app that gives back. An app that gives back across the nation. Cities like Chicago have made serious efforts to reform the bail system. But even with net-worthy advancements, blacks are detained in jail at nearly 5 times the rate of whites, according to a report by the Justice Policy Institute. Inspired by the work of organizations such as National Bail Out, Silicon Valley Tech Entrepreneurs, Tiffany Mickel and Courtney Ziegler, PhD, created an app that makes it easy to aid the bail relief movement. Through a web-based giving platform called Apollition, donors, also known as Apollinicious, can link their credit card to the site. And with each purchase, Apollition will round up the amount to the nearest dollar. Spare change goes to a bail fund. Since launching this past November, Apollition has raised more than $40,000, Ziegler tells Essence. It's been really incredible to see so many different people, from elders to the young, college students to celebrities. Be excited about this app and the cause. Number two of the trending topics that we're talking about is holding on to history. So African American Culture Heritage Action Fund, which is a $25 million fundraising initiative led by the National Trust for Historic Preservation, will conserve historic sites that tell the story of our nation through the Black experience. The fund also supports research on how preservation impacts our urban communities. Visit savingplaces.org for more information. Number three, campus change makers. So a University of Pennsylvania student group has made fighting for social justice an extracurricular enterprise. Beyond Arrest, Rethinking Systematic Oppressions. In partnership with Greater Ford State Correctional Institution, plans to sponsor a literacy workshop in which students over the course of this semester will edit the commutation letters of men serving life sentences. Number four, knowing your worth. A study from Washington University in St. Louis titled Promoting Resilience Among African American Girls. Racial identity as a protective factor shows a direct link between the educational success of young black girls and a healthy racial identity. Researchers found that when adolescent females view their blackness favorably, they are most likely to be academically curious. Number five, paying homage. Before the 2006 fire that destroyed the interior of Chicago's Pilgrim Baptist Church, the famous landmark provided a stage for some of the nation's greatest gospel singers. Now Don Jackson, CEO of the Stellar Gospel Music Awards, is turning the Southside Sanctuary into the National Museum of Gospel Music. It's expected to open in 2020. Number six, quote, harassment is a secret problem that can be pushed into the shadows by non-disclosure agreements that keep things in the dark. We need to shine a light, end quote. And that was from by Anita Hill addressing attendees at the National Women's Law Center #MeToo event. Number seven. Financial gains. A report by the United Negro College Fund has confirmed that HBCUs are an integral part of the American landscape. The first study of its kind, HBCUs make America strong. The positive economic impact of historically black colleges and universities found that these schools generate more than 14.8 billion annually in revenues for their surrounding communities. Number eight, new rules. The Black Economic Council of Massachusetts is calling on the state, whose capital was dubbed the most unwelcoming city for African Americans, in a Boston Globe article to evaluate development constructs over $100,000 differently. A revised policy would make diversity count for more than 25% of the criteria for awarding bids on land owned by the state's port authority. Number nine, shifting focus. Leading up to the monumental special election this past December, the Alabama Institute for Social Justice, also called AISJ, announced that it was now aiming to mobilize marginalized groups and create political and social equality. AISJ will do this through a number of initiatives, which include training people in advocacy and leadership. And then finally, number 10 topic that is training that we're talking about is breaking barriers. For the first time in Olympic history, two black women will represent America, represented America in speed skating. Mamie Beeney, age 18, a Ghana native, and newbie ice skater Aaron Jackson, age 25, of Ocala, Florida, snag spots on the short and long track teams respectively after achieving personal best in December during U.S. qualifiers for the 2018 Winter Games in South Korea. Moving on to money and power. Hit the reset button. These five essential steps will help you keep short-term debt from becoming a long-term hassle. So if your dreams of attaining wealth have been sidelined by your debt load, you're not alone. The average single black woman with a college degree is $11,000 in debt, according to a study from Duke University and the Insight Center for Community Economic Development. Married black women aren't faring much better, with the typical 30-something with a college degree owing $20,000. While some debt can be attributed to the student loans you've incurred, lingering credit card balances may also be to blame. Perhaps if you didn't have to meet those burdensome obligations, you could increase your retirement savings, give more to charities you believe in, or pay for that dream vacation. When you don't have debt, you have financial freedom, says Dana Branham, a Lexington, Kentucky-based financial advisor with Lasting Legacy Wealth Management. When we're not intentional about our spending, miscellaneous purchases quickly turn into an overwhelming mountain of debt. However, by changing our mindset and behavior, we can avoid this vicious cycle. Here are five steps to help you to become debt-free once and for all. Step one. Do the prep work. When you're ready to tackle your debt, figure out why you're in debt in the first place, says Cara Stevens. She's the founder of The Frugal Themista, thefrugalthemista.com, a personal finance website. Sometimes it's because of circumstances you can't control, such as a layoff or an illness. If so, once you get out of debt, focus on amassing more savings to tide you over if another challenging situation arises. But if you're struggling because of poor financial choices, you must adjust your attitude. Follow these guidelines at the onset of your debt reduction plan. Drop the shame. A lot of times we feel guilty about the debt we've created over the years, but that won't get us anywhere, says Kristen Sutton, a licensed professional counselor and founder of the Debt Free Black Girl blog. Instead, acknowledge the past, forgive yourself, and vow to create a better financial future. Disrupt negativity. Take time to discover your core beliefs about money, says Sutton. When you have a negative thought, look for evidence to cancel it out. For example, if you think I'm in debt because I'm not good with money, remind yourself of a time when you saved for an important financial goal. And create an emergency fund. It may sound counterintuitive, but taking the time to accumulate a small stash of cash before tackling your debt can help you get out of debt faster. When the unexpected happens without a small emergency fund at hand, you may have to reach for a credit card to cover expenses, wiping out any progress you've made. Have some type of savings in place, even if it's $500 to $1,000, Sutton says. So we're going to stop here at the, we just read step one, and we'll follow up with the other steps, 2 through 5, next week, because it looks like we've run out of time for today's episode of Essence Magazine. I hope that you've enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Nicole Hunter, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleradioreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.